is wonderful to join together with these voices and sing these wonderful songs that stir our hearts as we consider Him and thank Him for what He's done, longing for the day when we'll be forever with the Lord. And that is truly a joy for us. Thank you for making us feel so at home. It's been a real treat for Mary and I to join with you today. And it's exciting for me to be able to share with you. Many of you I know have prayed for Faith Academy down through the years. And as a young boy growing up and living in Buffalo, New York, I heard story after story of missionaries when they would come through. We're talking about people like Cyril Brooks and Ken Brooks and the Logans from Africa. Faithful servants would come through. They would tell their fantastic stories. I would sit spellbound. But I also remember making very conscious decisions that I would never be a missionary. That was okay for them. I mean, I heard stories of missionaries plucking insects out of the air and taking out the wings and into the stomach. There's no way I want to do that kind of stuff. The glamours of the missionary life were good for them, but not for this character. Well, as I've said to many, that's a dangerous thing to think, because the Lord has a wonderful way of taking those negative feelings that you have inside and turning them around and saying, ha, 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 have I got news for you, young man. And as I was sharing at a high school class this past week in Central Florida, I had what I thought were God's plans, but in reality they were plans in the flesh, but God was working out His plan and brought them wonderfully together. Almost, well, every step of the way, I just needed to analyze and look back and see how they've all been interwoven together. And He did that. And 15 years ago, took us from the comforts of New Hampshire, where I thought the Lord was really grooming us for more extensive work at Camp Berea, and took us from New Hampshire 10,000 miles away to those 7,250 islands scattered in the South China Sea called the Philippines, the Republic of the Philippines. Well, I'm going to share a little bit more about that, but it would be helpful to look at some encouraging words in Scripture, and I would invite you to look in your Bibles and turn in your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3. These are familiar portions of Scripture. And it's so easy to get lost in the familiarity of Scripture, but let's just look at it in just a little different light this evening, and then we'll share in picture format, both in video and in a slide presentation, just what is going on there at Faith Academy. Lamentations chapter 3, just two verses, beginning at verse 22 of Lamentations chapter 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Because of the Lord's great love, His loyal love, we're not consumed. Boy, there were times when I felt consumed. There were times when our family felt consumed. No doubt there have been times when you indeed have felt consumed. But the Scriptures tell us we're not consumed, because His compassions never fail, because His love is faithful and great. Have you ever felt consumed? Circumstances of life, situations on the day, oftentimes can make us feel consumed. It was real exciting to go through the planning and the whole process of getting out to Faith Academy. You know, in 1980, it looked like I was going to lose my teaching job. Boy, you talk about feeling consumed. When you're faced with a layoff, when you're faced with perhaps losing your job, Massachusetts was going through a pretty interesting tax reform. And being a public servant, we were told in our school district that the likelihood of those who were last hired were going to lose their job. And I had only been working there 6 years, but guess what? I was the last man hired in our department. And that meant that if this tax reform passed, I might lose my job, 1980. we felt it important to perhaps look at other alternatives. And Mary and I got together and talked through this kind of thing and certainly committed it to the Lord in prayer. And one of the options that we looked at was perhaps a mission school. Now, Mary's brother, Barry Mackey, for years was a missionary in India. And I often forget that the Lord used him to kind of get our minds thinking about missionary work. He thought we'd make excellent house parents at a school in India, Woodstock. And I thought we'd make excellent dorm parents too, or house parents. But I was an educator, and I didn't feel like my gifts were best being utilized as a house parent. So we didn't really put too much stock in Woodstock there in India. But nevertheless, the Lord used that to at least get us thinking about what are some of the possibilities we could be looking at. But we did know about Faith Academy. By and large, from the reports that we would hear from Cyril and Anna Brooks and Ken and Elaine Brooks and other missionaries from the Philippines who would come through. So I wrote to Faith Academy via Cyril Brooks. I said, you know, Cyril, find out if there's any possibilities or could my talents be used at Faith Academy. And he passed that letter on to the superintendent of Faith Academy. And they wrote back and said, look, we would love for you to come out and teach math or science. Well, I'm not a math or science teacher. I'm an industrial arts teacher. Although I felt I could do math or science, but because I wasn't certified, I didn't think that the Lord would have us do something that perhaps we weren't really fully trained for. So we just kind of put that letter aside, and as it turned out, the tax reform did pass in Massachusetts, but I didn't lose my job, thankfully. So that time of being or feeling consumed was eliminated. Actually, more opportunity was given for me to get further education. It also allowed time for our family to continue to grow and mature. By 1980, we had three young kids. But in 1984, we were contacted by Faith Academy, and the Lord was starting to open the door. And that letter read, we have a teacher in industrial arts going on furlough and then taking a year of language study. Would you come out and fill that position for 2 years? Ooh, that was an exciting time. And the thing that started to consume us then was, wow, here we thought the Lord might be moving us to Camp Berea in a more full-time capacity. Our kids were well entrenched in the comforts of home. Mary had a part-time nursing job. My job at school was going very well. We were heavily involved in our assembly in Andover, Massachusetts. We felt consumed probably because we felt confused. What is the Lord trying to tell us here? Well, we committed it to the Lord in prayer. We worked at Camp Berea that summer. We finished filling out the application after the camp season. And by December, we had heard from Faith Academy that we were approved to come and teach. We contacted our elders at Andover Bible Chapel, and they contacted Mary's Home Assembly in Oakland, there in Victoria, British Columbia, and we were commended for a 2-year period of time. I got a leave of absence from my teaching job. Everything was starting to fall into place, and it was just a wonderful provision. And by July of 1985, we were saying goodbye to New Hampshire and Massachusetts and saying hello to Ken Brooks on the other side of the customs window there in Manila's International Airport. A wonderful, wonderful time. But you know, it wasn't long before we started feeling consumed. But we come back to our scripture here. We're not consumed, but I felt consumed. We were engrossed in a new climate. A boy from Buffalo who loves the snow was surrendering all of that for the next 2 years because there's no snow in the Philippines. In fact, the lowest temperature that it ever really gets is probably in the high 80s. And we really had to face a new climate and new temperatures, and there were times that we felt consumed, where the sweat was just dripping off of our forehead. We were also faced with different things as it related to culture. Boy, I was a real giant walking around a land of what seemed to be little people. And many times I was a spectacle as I walked down the roads. And our daughters also felt some of that pressure because everyone wanted to touch us. I mean, I had people wanting to touch my nose. They liked my nose. There's nothing great about my nose. I need to convince you of that tonight. There's nothing beautiful about my nose. Well, it's not that bad, but boy, Filipinos love my nose. They just wanted to touch it. I think believing they could touch it, they might somehow have a nose like mine. I could go on and on and tell you, I was pinched. It was really something. And then because of the influence the United States had during World War II, the G.I. Joes, everywhere you walk, it was, "Hi, Joe, hi, Joe." Well, there was just one day that I remember, and I don't relish in sharing this other than the fact that the next one to call me Joe, I was ready to... Yeah, there were times we felt consumed, but the culture sometimes got to us. Driving, that really got to us too. Driving in the Philippines is indescribable. You really do need to experience it. I won't take a whole lot of time, but let me invite you to check in with Jim Harvey and Jeanette Harvey. They visited us in the Philippines, and they can tell you all about the driving. But let me just share with you the fact that it's so busy and the traffic is so incredible. There's not enough roads to satisfy the demands of all the automobiles. They've gone to a driving scheme that if your license plate ends in a 1 or 2, you can't drive in the city from 7 in the morning till 7 in the evening. On Tuesdays, if your license plate ends in a 3 or 4, you can't drive on Tuesdays. 5 or 6, Wednesdays, and so on. Well, it just means that you have to be very careful when you schedule things in the city that you don't schedule them on a day when you can't drive. It's a pretty healthy fine if you get caught. I remember one time we were on our way to see a rugby game. We had a free afternoon. That doesn't happen very often. And Mary and I got in the car, and we're just crossing over into no man's land. And I said, "Wait a minute, Mary, we can't drive. This is the day we can't drive in the city." So we pulled off and parked the car and hopped into a taxi. Yeah, there are times you feel consumed. Calamities is another thing that happens, both the natural calamities and the man-made calamities. We see our fair share of typhoons and seem to have an inordinate number of earthquakes. We were in a very horrific earthquake back in 1990. We had just finished climbing the mountain road to Baguio. Now, Baguio is 5,000 feet, and it does offer a relief in the temperature, and that's where many missionaries go just for a time of break. The air is a little fresher, and certainly the temperature is about 15 to 20 degrees cooler. And we were taking, in fact, we were taking a missionary family that was new to the Philippines, and we thought this would be a wonderful way to introduce them to the Philippines. Clean market, refreshing air, and just a way to orient them to what was going to be facing them for the next year. And we were only 45 minutes off the mountain road when at 4:26 on July 19th, tremendous 7.8 earthquake hit the Philippines, and more than 2,000 people were killed. We were spared, and we certainly thank the Lord for that, but 2,000 and more people lost their lives, a tremendous earthquake. And then the man-made calamities, you know, it was just a year later, 1991, when John Spears, one of the commended missionaries from the Assemblies, was down in the island of Mindanao, purposely trying to be better in the language so that he would reach Muslims for the Lord Jesus Christ. Muslims didn't like what he was doing, and a Muslim came up and shot him, killed him. And that was a real tragedy. And we all share in whenever we experience a loss. And that was a real time of tragedy and calamity. And we do feel consumed, but we take comfort in what we read tonight. And with this I encourage you, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. Oh, it may be for a time, but in the big picture of things, we're not consumed. Because of the Lord's great love, and because of His compassions, and because of His faithfulness, don't we take comfort, and aren't we encouraged this evening when we consider that God is faithful even when we're not? And our response to Him, to trust Him, and to love Him. Praise Him, wait upon Him, and be faithful to God from a heart full of gratitude. May that be your portion tonight. In those times when you feel consumed, remember that God is faithful. His compassions are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Well, Faith Academy had its beginnings in 1956 when missionary parents came together to grapple with one major consideration, and that was an answer to the question, how are we going to ensure that our young kids get a quality education? After all, we sense the Lord calling us to teach and preach and work and bring Filipinos to the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we going to ensure that our young people get a proper education? And it was the grappling of that question that led to the formation of what Faith Academy is today. In 1957, Faith Academy first opened its doors to 48 young people in grades kindergarten through grade 8 in a two-story home in downtown Manila with two full-time teachers. And over the years, to its present, this past August, its 43rd year, Faith Academy had 615 young people in grades kindergarten through grade 12 and over 80 that comprised the staff. And its sole purpose is to facilitate the spread of the gospel in Southeast Asia by providing a quality education to the children of missionaries. And except for perhaps about 5, 6, or 7 young people, all of the young people who attend the school are children of missionaries. It's the largest school of its kind in the world. There are many schools like Faith Academy around the world, but Faith Academy's unique feature is that it's nearly 100% children of missionaries. Now, a small portion of those missionaries do board, and most of them would be in the upper grades. And missionary families have some hard decisions to make when they put their young people in boarding. You know the tension that can be created when the decision is made that we need to put our young people into boarding. And mostly in the high school, about 20% of the kids board. And Faith Academy has 5 boarding homes. This year we could only open 4 of them because we didn't have enough staff. And that leads me to just remind you that one of our greatest needs year after year is finding the qualified staff to come and be in the school to teach these young people. So you pray with us about filling that need. And perhaps you may know some educators, teachers, who might be looking for just a little different challenge. I'd be interested to know who those people might be. And often it's much easier to have people say, you tell on them because they don't like to come forward and talk to me. But if you know someone, boy, I'd love to hear from you. Let's just take a moment then, and I'll share with you the video presentation. It's just a short video presentation that gives you just a little flavor of Faith Academy. And then with that, we'll follow that with a slide presentation, and that will give you just a little better picture together. So we just need to take a moment or two and shift gears here. And I am ever so grateful to the gentleman who helped set up this evening. Thank you, but let's go ahead and we'll start the video.
Jesus Christ goes out into all of Asia from this transmitter and through antennas to bring the message to people in their own living rooms in their own languages. I would not be here to direct this multi-million-dollar project if it wasn't for this.
We're here at the Asian Seminary of Christian Ministries in Manila, Philippines. Our task is to train Christian nationals for the ministry from this country and from across Asia and the Pacific. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this.
Scott Nelson's piece allows him to bring healing to hundreds of poor people. Dave Darwin's piece allows him to train Asian leaders in a seminary. Jeff Anderson's piece allows him to work with street children. David Petro's piece allows him to work with a remote tribal group. The pieces that all these missionaries possess is a connection to a group of white buildings on a hilltop overlooking the Oriental megacity of Manila, Philippines. This place is Faith Academy, the school with the world's largest group of missionary children, nearly 650 of them. If you want to help world missions, what happens on this hilltop school is of vital strategic importance. Here's why. Faith provides quality Christian education for over 300 missionary families each year. That's a lot of missionary work. That's every year.
It's even more than that. As one of the few friendly and pro-missions countries setting the edge of the 1040 window, the Philippines is going to be a strategic launching point for missionaries to evangelize the countries that are less open to missions. And because it uses English for higher education, nationals from other countries are being trained by missionaries in Bible schools and seminaries.
And faith is a vital part of it all by teaching the children of the missionaries in these ministries. But missions is still people. People who, in response to the Great Commission, and often at great personal cost, are willing to move to the other side of the world to help spread the gospel. Most often, these are married couples with children. And while these missionaries are willing to serve in difficult situations, one thing they rejoice over is that, with Faith Academy's help, they don't have to sacrifice their kids' futures. Like all parents, missionary parents want their children to have the opportunity to reach their full potential, and potential they have. Missionaries' children tend to be bright, have an unbeatable heritage in missions, and most often share their parents' commitment to the things of Christ. Our secret ingredient that helps us serve these parents and bring out their children's potential is our dedicated staff. A visitor to our classrooms would quickly notice the atmosphere of loving concern, where teachers are more than just doing their jobs. They desire that each of these sons and daughters of missionaries reach their full potential, growing spiritually and socially, as well as physically and mentally. The reason for this is easy to find. All of Faith's staff are also missionaries, helping to further the work of missions through their training as teachers. With these dedicated teachers and their commitment to the missionary cause, these children are receiving an education that we believe is second to none. Another feature of Faith Academy that has been most helpful to parents and students alike is the boarding homes that have been established by the school and some missions. About one-fifth of our 600 students live in these boarding homes, most of them being in grade 7 or above. One of the keys to making it all happen so successfully in Faith is the boarding parents. Each specially chosen couple devotes their full time to being a second father and mother to these young people. As a result, the boarding students often shine as leaders in the student government, sports, and academic achievement. For over 35 years, Faith has been using the original buildings constructed in the early 60s for a school of 350 students. Now, nearly 650 students use these buildings, and the high school continues to grow every year. Our current facilities are making it difficult to nurture what we believe will be an important group of Christian leaders for the 21st century. Future needs have been carefully considered. Visions have been prayerfully reduced to a unique, carefully crafted plan by U.S. experts. A new classroom auditorium complex. It will help our whole program. It's just what we need. It's just right for us. Except in one way. We can't do it ourselves. We need others who have a vision for a project that has enormous short-term and long-term benefits for missions.
In the short term, over 300 missionary families are accommodated each year.
Over the long term, missionaries like my wife and myself are able to stay on the field for years because Faith Academy takes care of the needs of our school-age kids.
We have therefore become leaders in the missionary enterprise
because of our decades of experience.
And Faith's 1,700 graduates and thousands of other alumni are making a difference around the world.
And they all consider themselves part of Faith Academy, one of the greatest enterprises in the world.
We're all a piece of the Faith Academy puzzle.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm a peach.
I'm a peach.
I'm a peach.
I'm a peach.
All of this made possible by their connection to Faith Academy. Come, join us in the work. Because the teachers, boarding home parents, and administrators are here providing the education of these children, hundreds of missionaries are able to carry on the work to which God has called them. If you can't come, help send someone who can. Your help is needed.
Give you just a very brief idea of things that are happening at Faith Academy. And just to, as we're doing a little crossover here, a couple of things that I would like to remind you of, or maybe give you a little orientation to. I am not trying to develop a new dress trend here, but I felt it was important to at least let you know that in the Philippines, this would be what I would wear if I were speaking in an assembly on a Sunday. Actually, I might even wear the short sleeve version. That's a little bit more comfortable. This would probably be used for more formal events like a wedding. And even there, these barongs, as they're called, come or are made of a fabric that takes the pineapple fiber. It's a very fine weave and a very fine sheer kind of material. It's also quite warm, although this is not too bad in the Philippines. So I'm not trying to set a new trend here, and I don't usually go around with my shirt untucked, but it is a very comfortable piece of dress or shirt. Now, Faith Academy is comprised of about 80 full-time staff that are missionaries and look to the Lord for all of their support. The school does not pay any of the faculty. The school does hire a Filipino staff, about 60 in number. We have Filipino staff in our offices, in our computer department, in the boarding homes, our custodial crew, our maintenance crew, and our gardening crew, and they number about 60. But the full-time staff are all missionaries, and they come from several different evangelical mission boards. I don't know if you heard in the video, but well over 350 families are serviced by Faith Academy, and they represent over 100 different mission groups. So the school has enjoyed the Lord's graciousness and the Lord's faithfulness down through the years. It's no mistake that Faith Academy is named Faith Academy. Every decision and every movement that the school has taken these last 43 years have all been based upon faith in God and His leading and His provision. And now this slide presentation is simply entitled Keys, recognizing that there are many different keys that make up the success not only of the school but of the missionary effort in Faith Academy. And Faith Academy is really just one of those keys, but within that key are several other little keys that make it go. And with that, we'll show the presentation keys. Thanks very much. I think I'll switch back here. And talk with you. Your questions have been wonderful, and we'll be around here for a few moments to answer your questions individually. I just want to apprise you of a couple of prayer reminders, and then we'll close in a word of prayer, and we'll have had a great day together. Mary received word. We're home on furlough this year. This is our year of being home and joining in with our family. We have three young people. Heather, our oldest, is cooking at Emmaus Bible College. It was her birthday yesterday. We're still trying to track her down. We're going to get her. We know that she's going to be in her apartment tonight, so we'll call her and wish her a happy birthday. David and Valerie are both at John Brown University in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, Christian University. David is a senior, and Valerie is sophomore. And, of course, our other purpose for being home is to visit and share what is going on in the Philippines. And we have a pretty full schedule between now and Christmas, and then we'll pick it up again after the Christmas break. But Mary just received word that her mother had a pretty serious stroke yesterday. She's in a nursing home in British Columbia, and now we're in one of those patterns to wait and see what needs to follow. So would you remember her and remember us as we have to make some decisions probably in the next several hours. And if anyone has the ability to get on the internet, that would help me get some email messages out. So I'd be happy to talk with you if you have internet capabilities where we can retrieve some of our email. Let's pray for Faith Academy. Faith Academy doesn't have school on Monday because it's All Souls Day. And that's a big day in the Philippines, a holiday where there is no work and everyone goes to the graves. Kind of a sad situation because there's that belief that the graves need to be kept beautiful, and there's a lot of prayer for the dead that take place on All Souls Day. But because we have and respect for the country, we don't hold classes on Monday, November 1. You see, it's already Monday because they're 13 hours ahead of us, and they would be getting ready for school if they had school today, but they don't have school today. And then we want to remember, too, the need for staff. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to join together this evening and consider the words of Scripture that remind us that we're not consumed because of your love and your faithfulness. Father, each one of us can testify how you have worked in our lives down through the years, and even though there have been moments when we felt consumed, when we really analyze the big picture and the total picture, we see how you work and weave and cause our life to walk in the path that you would have us walk. And therefore, we're not consumed because of your love and your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for Faith Academy and for the way your faithfulness has been demonstrated these 43 years. And Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to have an impact in the lives of young people, the children of missionaries there at Faith Academy. We pray for the school today. We pray for each teacher, for each young person. We pray too, Father, knowing that not all of them know you as a personal Savior. And we pray that as teachers have opportunity to interact with young people, that they would see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in each person, and they would come to a saving knowledge of yourself. We pray too for the need of staff year after year. We pray, Father, that there would be many who would consider how they might be used as educators and dorm parents and other staff positions there at the school. And now we commit our night into your hands with thanksgiving, thanking you for this day. May all that has been said and done bring honor and glory to you, for we give thanks in Jesus' precious, worthy, and holy name. Amen.